Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax, and let's chat about what is happening up in the sky above us today. In fact, today the sky above us is fairly calm, and that means we have more time to spend then on some human design and gene keys information, which is where all the action is taking place right now anyway, even though to have action in human design implies that there's also something happening in astrology. It is that there's so much more juicy stuff to talk about in terms of what is going on in your human design chart. So if you have your own human design chart, get it out. If not, I have my handy dandy one that I've written all over this morning, and we can start our conversation then going deeper into what is going on with the sun and the earth and Mercury, Venus, and Mars. Yesterday, we talked a bit about Pluto moving over to the gate 55, retrograding backwards into the gate 54, and how that changes the dynamic in terms of what are we transforming. What we're transforming there is our ambitions, our goals, the drive that we have toward enlightenment, or the drive that we have toward completing a project or getting something done, the drive we have as humans to succeed or not to fail, whichever case it might be. Let's say a quick good morning to Colleen and Mimi. Good morning, Linda. Wow, nice to see you. Asa, I'm so glad you're here. Jan Landry, good morning. She says good morning to all. And Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel, and Asa says, namaste, beautiful spirits. I love that. So good morning to everybody and everyone who joins us later here. Today we are mostly going to be talking about human design. So hopefully you have your own human design chart handy. If you do not, that's okay. I have the one that I always show everybody. If you don't even have a human design chart, find your way to my website, which I will type into the comments right now, and get yourself your human design chart. Okay, www.living-astrology.com is the website that you can go to and get that for free. It also comes with a report now. And just a quick word, lots of you would like to get charts for more than just yourself, but because my free chart is linked to being on the mailing list, if you try to do that multiple times, you're going to have to do different email addresses and blah, blah, blah. So better to just go up to the top of the page and click Janet at living-astrology.com. Email me with the birth dates or the and birth time and birthplace of the people that you want to have the free charts for. So just, you know, your family members, don't try to do that for everybody in the world. That will just stress me out because I actually have to hand do these. It's not like it just happens, you know, and it's emailed to you. I have to actually go for putting them into the programs and so forth. So not that I mind doing that, but because I really do want you to be able to apply what you learn in human design to your family. But unfortunately, the only way that I can figure out to set that up ends up asking you for your email address over and over. So get one for yourself with your email address. If you want one for your spouse or your family, your kids especially, then email me privately and I will be able to get that for you. Okay, and it doesn't say that on my page yet either. And I meant to do that. I just haven't gotten the time to do that. So hopefully it doesn't affect some of you out there already. Okay, so today we have the moon in Aquarius, one of my favorite placements for the moon, where we are getting a little bit jazzed up by some of the electrical energy moving through the system, as Aquarius is ruled by the planet Uranus, the planet of electricity, of unexpectedness, of crazy surprises, and that is what we are expecting today. However, the moon in Aquarius is in a square to Uranus early in the day. So that means some of the surprises may be in the form of a challenge, maybe a challenge to something you've been trying to do. Maybe someone throws, you know, a little kink in your plans. So be okay with that. It's just the way it works today. But the moon is also in a good relationship with Jupiter today, which tends to magnify the benefits of these surprises or of these changes. So even though in your, you know, myopic view right now of a problem that occurs or an unexpected surprise or a jolt that comes in today, there may be something better that is coming in behind it. And you just can't can't see that yet. So be okay with whatever energy pops up, at least as far as we're concerned with surprises or epiphanies. That's the other word that, well, that was interesting. My barrette just broke and flew across the room just as I'm talking about surprises. So what you get is my hair all in a mess here because I don't have a rubber band with me to fix that. Too funny. What do you say, right? Surprises. What? So now I have my hair in this crazy configuration. Okay, whatever. So, okay, surprises, right? That was not such a bad surprise. Sun opposing Neptune today. Now, the Sun opposing Neptune is usually one that dampens down our energy. And you know, it was kind of curious. I was thinking the other day, my grandson has a cold. I was talking to Asa and her grandchildren had colds, gave them to her. And a couple of other people I was talking to yesterday have this, you know, cold thing going on. And I thought, wow, it's only September. What the heck? You know, we don't need these things this soon. My son ended up with the cold after his son got it and blah, 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 right? So as I was thinking about that this morning, I realized, well, Neptune in it, as the planet in our chart, kind of rules the lymphatic system. And in the lymph, of course, are where the white blood cells are created. And the white blood cells, you know, are the ones that are ushered in when there is germs or bacteria that have entered into the system. So it makes sense then with all this focus with Neptune energy that maybe our weakness is in our lymph systems right now. So what you can do to anything that you can do, vitamin C, echinaceas, what eating right, taking enough time for yourself and rest that you can do while the Sun is in opposition to Neptune so that you can either prevent yourself from breaking down into a cold or at least speed the healing process up if indeed that has happened to you. So we have Neptune under pressure, obviously, with the Sun in opposition to it today. Opposition, pulling in opposite directions, right? And I read something interesting the other day about oppositions, and they were it was an astrologer, and they were equating it to being in a relationship. Well, okay, hair, what are you doing? Where the where if you're in a relationship, what you're trying to do is blend your energy in with that of the other person. So the other person has their own identity, you have your own identity, but in coming together, you're trying to merge the two, or in some ways hold your own power and strength over here while the other person holds their own, but you're somehow coming into the middle to meet. That's what an opposition is like in astrology as well. And I thought that was a brilliant explanation. There are two relationships here, the Sun with itself, Neptune with itself, and they are in completely different territories, right? But they're not so different that they can't find their way toward one another. The Sun in Virgo is involved with healing and is involved with wholeness and is involved in shining a light down on the practical application of things in your life. While Neptune in Pisces is about the, if you could use the word, I don't think you can use the word practical, but it is in the expression of spiritual dynamics of the things that you can't see. Like germs, we can't see germs, bacteria, we can't see those, but we can see or feel the effects of it. So right now you might be feeling the effects of where you have gotten out of balance and or out of not grounded well enough in order to be able to do what it is that you want to do. So the other thing is, I mean, I'm asking the question of myself, where did my willpower go? Right? Because sometimes I just feel like, especially these last couple of days, it's like, okay, I am not doing anything. If I can get it done really fast and see the results of it, like putting in a load of laundry or doing the dishes or, you know, sweeping the floor, great. But when it comes to long-term having to focus on something of great, you know, magnitude, there's just no energy there for it right now, at least not for me. And I don't even have the will that I would normally pull up my willpower and I would push myself into that, exactly what I tell you guys not to do. But I have no willpower right now. And that is also a result of the Sun in opposition to Neptune. Where did my willpower go? Now, also Sun opposing Neptune, sometimes we want to over-glamorize or over-idealize someone It may be someone, it may be an idea, it might be something that you engage in that you become overly self-righteous about. So here's a time where we're not seeing clearly, and so the ideal isn't necessarily real. And so we have issues at this point in time trying to merge the real and the ideal or see them clearly in their own rights. So in other words, not a great time to make big decisions. Making big decisions means you often have to have your whole mind with you, right? You can't just have half your mind or half of your energy and the other half out here. You have to probably wait in order to make these big decisions because it just isn't something that's going to happen organically or easily at this moment in time. All right, let's see. Questions, comments. Lynn, good morning to you. Kathy Miller, good morning. Brenda, hello, tribe. Good morning to you, Brenda. And Jan says, I've been reading about the gates and the gene keys. Definitely a deep dive. Oh, yes, indeed, Jan. Very, very deep. At the very beginning of the book, Richard Rudd, the author, does a really good job, I think, of warning you ahead of time, almost, letting you know that this is more of a contemplation. This isn't a book you pick up and you read cover to cover. It just doesn't work that way. You lose the intuitive piece in it if you work it that way. Instead, what I tell people to do is to start with the gate that the sun is at in your chart. So if your gate is, if the sun in your chart is at gate 5, then you start with the gate 5. And you read it and you understand it. And then if you get that, then go to the earth in your human design and read that one. If you try to read it cover to cover, it loses something. It's a contemplation. So you use it as a tool to take you deeper into knowing yourself. And that's what I really like about it. And Debbie says the energy feels so much better today. Don't be fooled, Debbie. I think it's probably the moon's move into Aquarius that makes it feel a little bit more energetic. I got to tell you, ladies, on Mondays, every other Monday, I'm part of a group of worthy women, we're called. And we are, it's a business group. There's 5 of us in the group and we meet as sort of a mastermind class kind of thing. Every other week we meet. Yesterday, and we share, you know, our triumphs and our not so triumphs. And yesterday I was like, I don't even know what to say because I found myself saying things like I'm confused or I'm overwhelmed or I'm at a crossroads. I don't know which direction to go. It's not clear. I'm indecisive. I can't make decisions to save my soul. And as I'm sitting here this morning, putting the day together and looking at all of this energy, I'm like, duh. We have Mars at 64 confusion. That's where the sun has been. And we have the sun now at 47, which in the highest is epiphany, but in the lowest is mental oppression. And we have the earth in a position that can sometimes trigger emotional reactions to all of that going on. And we have Mercury and Venus sitting at conflict. Yay. How's that for making decision energy? Not so good, right? So my indecision, I suddenly felt better about the fact that I'm waffling or that I'm not like very able to come down on one side or another on anything right now. So, hey, I'm just going with the flow, right? We'll just go with the watery energy of Neptune at this point in time. And so if you guys are feeling confused, if you're feeling not clear, you're in good company because that's just kind of what's going on out there. And you just can go with the flow and that's it. Good morning, Kathy. She says, loving the rain. You may call me great grandma today. Number 4 finally arrived yesterday. Congratulations, Kathy Miller. That is awesome. And that makes me what? A great, great aunt? Something like that? I'll have to check that out. Brenda says, I can't get a good connection yet. That's typical. typical when there's wonkiness going on. Beware of flying barrettes. Yes, beware of flying barrettes. And you know what? As I look down there, it doesn't look like it broke. It just looks like it came undone. Probably because my hair's thick and it doesn't like it. Well, anyway, Christine says, hi, at home from work. Nice to be here. Christine always joins us from Europe. And so it's evening there. But thank you so much for joining us. Natasha, good morning to you. Mimi says, same here. Limited willpower to dive into anything. And isn't it so annoying? It is so annoying. Natasha says, I am asking the angels of each individual to help us through the day to inner and outer roller coaster of our lives. Good morning, Ashley Imbernone and Kristen Page. Good to see you, ladies. So, yeah, ask your angels for help. I feel like today might be a little bit better owing to the sun and, moon moving into Aquarius. That kind of gives us that little extra jolt. It's like, you know, having an extra cup of coffee. Which I may do that after I get done this morning, have myself a second cup of coffee just to get energized and to get moving so that I can pull myself out of that sun opposing Neptune energy. But also, it is a great call for you to, you know, one of the things I was thinking about yesterday in the midst of all this feeling of overwhelm and confusion is that the one thing that I really have at my disposal that I have not used is meditation. Somehow in the midst of the summer, I got out of the habit of doing that. And of course, you know, that often allows you to bring all that energy down and embodied in the, you know, come to your center. And so that was a realization I had later yesterday. I thought, wow, you sort of haven't been doing that. And here's the results. You get to a crazy transit and it's hard for you to make decisions or do anything. So remember that you have other tools as well, right? Meditation, yoga, sometimes just taking a walk, a moving sort of meditation can help. Just getting out into nature, that kind of stuff all helps us ground and allows us to see things in a different way, or at least interact with the energies in a different way. Okay, so let's switch over to human design now. So here's what our human design chart looks like at the moment. It doesn't look any different than it did last week, where we have the sun a planet affecting gates in the head and the ajna. We have Mars at gate 64 now instead of the sun. And we have the sun today at gate 47, completing the whole channel here of, you could call this the channel of transformation. You could call this the channel of epiphany. You could call this the channel of realization. But all in all, the channel that's connected up now is one that brings us to those ahas, to those epiphanies. But like anything else, there's always the opposite or the lower energy form of that or frequency of that. And in the lower is mental oppression, where you're trying to think your way through everything. And the more you think, the more you're being drawn down, right? It's like, oh, that feeling in your head of being too, going too far into the head. And we also call this, in a sort of fun sort of way, the gate of stinking thinking, right? Stinking thinking is where your mindset has you on this roller coaster going through these same thoughts all the time, and they're not your positive thoughts. So the more that you say that you're confused, the more that you say that you're feeling oppressed, or the more that you feel like that you're focusing on that, the more it becomes true, the more you're creating it, because it's there in the field. So mental oppression is the shadow energy here. And what it allows us to do is to move up from stinking thinking, mental oppression, into epiphany or transmutation. If you look at it in the gene keys, it's transmutation. If you look at it in human design, it's epiphany. It's where it all comes together and you begin the process of changing out of that mental oppression and into the light, if you will. So from mental oppression, we go to transmutation or epiphany. And from there, we actually move up into the city, which is transfiguration. So I think it might be fun for us later this week to look at, maybe we'll do that tomorrow. We'll look at those words, transfiguration. Doesn't that sound like something out of Christianity or transmutation? We're kind of used to that. That sort of sounds like alchemy, transfiguration. I'm not sure about. So it'd be fun later to look at that. I didn't have time for that this morning. Now, remember, each gate has an overt way of being expressed in the shadow, or a more repressed way of expressing the shadow. So you may think, well, I'm not really mentally oppressed, but if you're feeling hopeless, you're expressing this in the repressed form. So the energy of hopelessness or being hopeless is the repressed form of stinking thinking. And on the rebellious side, the more aggressive or assertive side, it's when you're being a party pooper, right? When you're telling everybody else why that won't work, or where you're trying to bring down other people, you want to be in your, you don't want to be on the pity pot yourself. So you are trying to bring down others. So that those are cues that you've gotten into that lower level mental oppression. And the sun, of course, is pulling a lot of energy for you to take a look at that, right? It's the brightest object in our sky. And it is there to show you something. So where have you gotten into that stinking thinking? And then whose choice is it to pull yourself out of it? It's yours. And you do that by changing the way that you're thinking or what you're focusing your energy on. Now the Earth is at gate 22. Gate 22 sits way down here on the emotional center. And it is, hold on, right here. This is gate 22. It leads up toward the throat center. And so gate 22 is emotional, right? And what do we know about emotions? Well, emotions are moods and they're moody. And that means this is the gate of grace or graciousness. And it is sometimes we're gracious and sometimes we're not, based on the mood. So here we have an emotional wave that can take us into the higher energy of grace and graciousness, or into the lower energy of being dishonorable or being inappropriate or disgraceful. So we have this wave, of course. Sometimes you may feel like this is at the higher end and you're able to be graceful. And then something happens, something triggers an emotion or something triggers you in some way. And you end up at the lower end of this wave. And it is best probably to keep your mouth quiet, not express the get energy of the dishonor or being inappropriate, being disgraceful. Just be calm and cool and collected and wait for that wave to pass until you can get back to grace again. The 22 is a really, really interesting gate because it's so much deeper than what those words would imply, in that in the evolution of life on this planet, we have an outer evolution taking place, but we also have an inner evolution taking place. So they're linked, but they're not quite the same, right? The outer evolution is our letting go of greed and recognizing that we are always prosperous, that abundance is a birthright for everyone and it's there. And the other is the involution. Gate 22 shows us the involution, which is about returning to spirit, returning to emotional coherence, being gracious, even under pressure, right? So even when everything feels lost, we treat each other with love and kindness. We don't get into the ugliness. And as you know, we see our outer world right now where people just feel like they can say whatever they want, right? It's really disgraceful. So we're seeing the lower shadow energy of this gate 22. Now, interestingly enough, for the long haul here, Neptune has been sitting at gate 22. Neptune, right? Our spiritual growth piece, our spiritual challenge as humanity right now is to rise up out of that disgraceful dishonor and move into grace and graciousness. But I'm thinking that for the time being, you have to sort of expose the shadow, right? You know, I think all of us tap into what it is we would like to have said to somebody in the midst of an argument or about what's happening in the world. And we don't. We keep it to ourselves. But lately, it seems like there's this breakthrough in that, and people feel free to express the ugliness that they're feeling, or that the things that have, you know, been filtered before are no longer being filtered. Well, one way to heal a shadow is to expose it. So even though I don't necessarily like the characters out there and what they're saying, they are exposing that ugliness that we've all been sort of keeping tamped down within us and helping us then to choose consciously to return to a state of grace. In the repressed form of the gate 22, we end up trying to be proper. Like, remember the old time etiquette, right? Where, you know, if you were eating, your hands were in your lap, or you know, just all the manners. Think of, what was her name? Miss Manners. God, what was her name? Anyway, I don't remember her name, but Miss Manners, if someone remembers her name, throw it out here, you know, where how it was that you were supposed to be proper. And so in the repressed form of grace and graciousness, it's this being proper and then judging people against whether they're being proper or not. And of course, the rebellious or the more rebellious form of this energy is being inappropriate and disgraceful, which we see plenty of that out there. So we see plenty of rebelliousness. And then I guess maybe somewhere on the other end, if we looked for it, we would find the energy of someone being repressing this energy into properness. So I guess we have to watch for this one as it's a continuing process of involution, right? You're evolving inwardly as well as evolving outwardly. So there we have that. Now, also, right now we have Mars sitting at the gate 64. All last week, remember, the sun was sitting at gate 64. It is the gate of confusion in the lowest expression. It is imagination in the gift, and its highest expression is that of illumination. Turn on the lights, right? So here we have Mars now, the planet of action, the planet of dynamic forward motion, sitting at the gate of confusion. And in the repressed form of this energy, it is literally confusion. But in the rebellious form or the more overt form, aggressive form, it is confusing. So people out there that are confusing you and or you being in a state of confusion. I recognize this so powerfully this morning, right? Just like, what? It is right there in my face, confusion. And where is it stemming from? I have an open head. Some of you with an open head, the very top center here, being yellow if it's defined, being white if it's open. And now suddenly both the head and the ajna are defined. The ajna being green if it's defined. It's the second center down. This one here. This is the head. This is the ajna. In my chart, and in 50, at least 50% of you, the head and the ajna are open. And then that means you have inconsistent confusion. But now we suddenly have consistent confusion, right? 64 and 47 are both defined by transiting planets, Mercury and Mars. No. 64 is Mars and 47 is the Sun. So that together, the Sun and Mars together form a lot of high energy. So there's high energy focused on your thinking patterns. So are you stuck in old thinking, stinking thinking? Or are you ready to pull yourself out of that confusion and change your thought patterns? That's essentially the choice that you have here. All right. Now, before I go into the Mercury-Venus gates, let's see what everybody's thinking out here. Allison, good morning to you, sweetie. It's great to see you. Asa says, and thanks to you, Janet, I meditate even better because I lay down. Oh, so some of you who have, yeah, a defined ajna. So if you have a defined ajna, that is the second center down. It's green if it's defined in your chart. You may do better meditation-wise by lying down. And that's because when we meditate, right, we're sort of forming a column between spirit, God, source, whatever, and coming down into your physical being. But if it is bumping into a defined head and ajna, then sometimes all of that mental thinking and that mental pressure is too much. That chatter in your head stops you from being able to really meditate well. So for those of you who have that, if you lie down, the energy column comes in and hits you center mass, and you might do a little better. It stops your head from thinking as much. And mostly you don't end up falling asleep. So you can try that. Most people will say don't meditate lying down because you'll fall asleep. That would be true for an open head and an open ajna. I would never do it that way because I would fall asleep. But for those of you that have the head defined and the ajna defined, it may work for you. Lynn, good morning. She says, I agree, Janet, meditation can easily fall away if we don't give it space and time. 5 to 20 minutes is perfect. It helps us tap into or align with our higher self source energy. Such a great reminder. Absolutely. That's all it really takes. But amazingly enough, during the whole of the summer, basically I found no time for that 5 to 20 minutes, which is my bad. Patty, good morning. That's my sister-in-law out there. Great to see you. Lynn says, I pulled us a card from Kim Kranz's Wild Unknown Animal Spirit deck. Oh, I like the sound of this deck. And she pulled Buffalo, which is earth energy. grounded yet heavenly, practical yet spiritual. If out of balance, a small cure is prayer, bhakti. I'll add affirmations can be like a prayer if they are the truth of who we are. So Lynn will post that hopefully. And if she can't post it, I will post it for us later. Thank you for sharing that. That sounds so sun opposing Neptune, by the way. That's pretty awesome. Jan says, Miss Manners, Judith Martin. Yes, thank you. And Kathy Miller says, ha ha, had to laugh, my being proper. No, Kathy, that is not something I would ever accuse you of being. And I love you for it. You so totally think outside the box. Okay, now let's go over to Mercury and Venus, because they are the harbingers of what is to come. And they are sitting right now at the gate 6, which is also on the emotional center. So let me circle. I'm going to highlight that one for us. Where'd my green one go? There. Here's the gate 6 from the emotional center. And so we have two hits in the emotional center, right? We have the 22 we were just talking about right here, moving up toward the throat. But we also have gate 6, which sits on the emotional center and moves over to the sacral. It is hanging at this point. There's nothing anchoring it over here. And so a hanging gate is one where we are electromagnetically attracted to someone who has the opposite gate, and then we complete a channel. So this is the channel in our tribal circuitry that is very masculine. This is masculine energy. Yet the gate 6 is also known as a gate of intimacy. And now we have Mercury and Venus sitting at that gate. And next week, we have the sun sitting at that gate. And where the sun goes, Mars follows later. So for literally the rest of September, we have the energy focused with those inner planets, which means this is personally affective, right? It's you that gets affected, not the outer world so much, but you personally become affected because these are inner planets. And this is literally in the gate of conflict in its lower expression. So conflict, and it doesn't necessarily, this is conflict when our needs aren't being met. This is conflict that literally can lead to war in the bigger, outer, wider world. If this was a Saturn sitting here or a Pluto sitting here, but in our own personal lives with these inner planets, this is a conflict between mind, heart, and speech, right? Mercury, the planet that rules the mind, and also what you say and how you say what you say, and then Venus, which rules the heart. So we have a mind, heart, and communication sort of conflict potential, right? Potential here. We don't have to express in the lower vibration. We can move this up. When we move this up and we express it in the gift frequency, it's emotional balance. It's being okay with where we are. It is being diplomatic, where if someone does trigger you, you don't have to dig in and get into conflict. You can stay in the peacefulness of that middle vibration. In the highest expression, this is the gate of peace. So we have the gate of love, of war, of intimacy, and peace, all in one gate, right? Again, because it's on the emotional center, we have the high potential of how it can be expressed, and we have the low potential of how it can be expressed. And it is all based on the mood, and the mood in the emotional center flows in waves, emotions. No mistaking why it is that we equate the emotions with water, because water moves. It has potential for movement even when it's still, and all you need is some wind or a weather system that stirs things up, and you can put water into motion and it becomes very powerful. Same thing with your emotional energy, right? Just a little injection of somebody's, you know, windbag, and it can make you respond in a very emotional way. What we end up finding out here, though, is that if we try to maintain that emotional balance, it comes when our mind and our hearts and our mouths right here is all connected and all in balance and all in harmony. I hope that makes sense to everybody, because it is, if one of them gets off, then, you know, you're into conflict, right? The repressed way of expressing this is in being overly attentive, like trying to do too much for too many people. And in the rebellious phase, this is tactlessness, right? Where somebody irks you and you just lay it all out there. It's interesting because this gate has so much more deeper meaning to it. We could literally study this one for a very long time and without ever repeating ourselves, literally. So we may take a deeper look at this through our wisdom of the Wisdom Keeper's Oracle deck, the one that was introduced to us by Rosie Aronson a few months back. And I think that would be a worthy one. But we need to watch this gate because if we get into conflict now with our, if our minds and our hearts and our mouths are out of alignment now, it's going to be more difficult when the more energetic planets, the Sun and Mars, get there over the next couple of weeks. And I would bet we're going to see personally people that are having issues over the next couple of weeks. Tantrums, perhaps. You know who I'm speaking of. And it should be in full display. We'll have to watch that. And then watch your own reaction to everything that's happening out there as well, because your own reaction might also be emotionally overblown. So, should be an interesting couple of weeks that we're moving into. Let's see, other comments. Angela, good morning to you. Natasha says Buffalo also stands for one who has the inner power to stand in the storms and the strength to flow where we are meant to go. We can go with our herd, or we have the strength to stand alone. Yeah. And in one of the decks, it is abundance. Buffalo, it represents abundance. So it's a great card altogether. All right. Questions, anybody? Confusion on anybody's part out there about what we've talked about this morning? And you're most welcome, Patty. I love being able to do this. You know, I do this every morning from 8 o'clock to about 9 o'clock, sometimes less. I managed to get everything out in 37 minutes this morning. So now it's your turn. Tell me something you might want to talk about, a question you might have. And I also realized yesterday that I was remiss in giving us a card reading for the week. So I'm going to do that while you guys are thinking about what questions you might have. And this is from the Wisdom of the Oracle deck by Colette Baron-Reed. And it's a beautiful deck. I love this one. We love cards. I love cards. And I know all of you do too. By the way, updates. You guys have been seeing Michelle out here periodically. She joins us in the morning and tells us about how she's doing. But my other friend, Ginger, who was in the hospital, I heard from her yesterday. She is on the mend and she's feeling better. She's getting movement back with her arms. And she is that they had drains in her breast, and she has now gotten rid of those. So she is definitely on the mend. And she luckily has her husband home. He works from home, so he's able to help her. Ooh, I got the card yin, card number two, yin, which is feminine energy. So let's see, card number two, what we have for us for this week. Oops, got too far there. There we go. So, and it was upright. So, it, essential meaning is the feminine principle of receptivity, letting someone else make the first move, gathering information and taking in cues, the art of conscious allowing, which, by the way, just makes me think that the energy of that gate six is very masculine. It's sitting at the masculine side of the tribal energy. So one of the balances to that would be to move over to the feminine end to bring things in balance. And the balance to that gate would be gate 50, the gate of nurturing, right? The gate of staying true to your values. So that would be a way also to balance conflict. The Oracle's message is, this is a time of calculated receptivity as you gracefully await what is coming to you. Now, I can't make that up. There's that word, grace, graciousness, gate 22. As you gracefully await what is coming to you, ready to accept it when it appears. Yin does not involve frozen dreams or even resting, but rather consciously allowing things to flow to you, poised to receive the bounty that will be made available to you. It implies sensitivity as you alertly study the actions of others and contemplate how they will affect you and yours. Remember, you must make space for miracles to appear. Be the shaped, not the shaper, and you'll see how quickly your dreams manifest. I'm going to read the prosperity message with this one as well. This is a time when the most effective action is to allow others to show you the way forward. Observe their behavior and follow their lead. Your desire to push through must take a back seat for now. Collaborate and offer your ideas rather than dictating what must happen. Let others come to you. It's important that they feel they have power now. Another meaning is about releasing your need to have things in the form you want. How do you want to feel? Basking in your success. Now allow the universe to show you the form. Yin is the sign of essence. Things may go more smoothly than you expect. Gotta love that one. And let's draw an animal card too, just for fun. See if I can do that without making a mess over here. Likely I won't, but let's see what spirit animal is our totem besides buffalo for the week. And this one is from the Spirit Animal Oracle by Colette Baron Reed. Lovely deck. These cards are so beautiful. So last night, my friend and I were standing in my kitchen. We were talking about the group on Samish Island that is like having a fury over the deer. And I look out my kitchen window while I was making dinner, and there's four deer out there. One was a baby, barely, I'm sure it was born not too long ago. It didn't have its spots anymore, but it was the most beautiful light beige color. And I was just enthralled. Okay, so we get groundhog spirit upside down. And groundhog is card number 31, which is a four. And it says, time to let go. Time to let go, but in protection. So let's see what that means for us. And flamingo also fell out, but I have a feeling that wasn't a card that was really meant for us. Otherwise, I would have probably picked up on that. 31, a four. Nope. I was going to do it, guys. You were going to let me do it. I had the wrong book. So card number 31, time to let go. Have you been relentless in your efforts to revive something that has passed its prime and needs to die away? A situation, a relationship, a belief, or a habit that served you once but no longer fills you with vitality? Perhaps you automatically expect to see the world through a specific lens based on the familiar. Groundhog spirit has appeared to let you know it's time to accept that the past is the past, so allow yourself to feel the loss and grieve if you need to. Any sadness will not last forever or overwhelm you. Knowing spirit is with you and wants you to experience joy and excitement again will help you through this transition from the old to the new. Keep your eyes open, for winter always gives way to spring and endings always give birth to new beginnings. For now, let yourself feel your emotions, releasing them to make way for the joy that awaits you. Spring and new growth are on their way, for that is spirit's promise to you. Well, there you have it. I think those are great cards to contemplate in the coming week, the week of the full moon, and time of releasing, right? Let's see. Any questions? Allison, wonderful to hear about Michelle and Ginger. I'm really excited for them both. Oh, no, I did not, Lynn. She said, did you talk about the Pleiadian Earth energy? No, I did not. And that's crazy because I always seem to do that. I have a specific place on my page devoted to the Pleiadian Earth energy. It's right here. And look, it's blank. I hadn't even looked at it yet today. So let me get my calendar out. I know it's a one day because yesterday was 13. And for those of you who are new to the Meta Cafe, we have a calendar called the Pleiadian Earth Energy Calendar. Here's the 2020 edition and what it looks like. And it is based on a 13-day week, right? So when you look at the months, they are numbered completely differently. Up in the top corner, you see the date based on the calendar, but here is the date based on this calendar, and it keeps us in alignment with universal energies and earth energies rather than the linear, mechanical Gregorian calendar that we have been using for centuries. So we have a better way to view ourselves against the backdrop of consciousness and evolution on the planet. So let's see, today then is, I can probably guess because yesterday was exploring energy, so today is healing energy. We're in the power of Ish in the Mayan calendar. That was Jaguar. That would be our earth energy today, the courage to heal imbalances. Wow. Accepting too many responsibilities or avoiding responsibility would be something you want to avoid. And of course, one energy, the universal energy. So no matter where we are in this universe, if we were on Mars right now, we would also be working with this energy of one, initiating. Good for starting new things. My only caveat in all of that is, remember, the sun is opposing Neptune, and that makes things not very clear. And we are also in the waning moon. So maybe it's initiating something that you've been holding on to. Maybe it's taking the next step for something that you've been in the process of, but not necessarily starting something new and something big. Although it would be interesting if one of you is about to do that to see how that turns out. Because maybe this overrides some of the older thinking in our astrology. I would love to hear about that if someone has something. You know, sometimes too, life puts us in a situation where we don't have a choice, right? That we have to start something new, even if it seems like it's out of the normal energy flow. And that might be because in your personal chart, the energy flow is that it's time. So we always have to think about that as well. Is it your personal time? If you're feeling clear enough to make a decision on something big, then do it. But if you're not feeling that clarity, like I know I am not feeling clarity on anything right now, then don't make it. Wait, because this too shall pass and clarity will again be restored. So thank you, Lynn, for that reminder. And I'm sorry, I totally would have forgotten that in favor of all of the other things going on here this morning in human design. Okay, I don't see any other questions popping up here. So thank you all for joining me this morning. I'm going to keep you posted because the Energy Almanac, that the 2021, should be up for sale here in the next week or two, and a pre-order, as it's just now gone into the publisher. We've got the cover. I hope you guys saw that. I posted that yesterday on the page, on the Living Astrology page here, so you could see it. It's beautiful, and it is coming out soon, so you can dive into what is coming up for 2020. And of course, though, we have a lot of time left in 2019 to live through as well. All right, all, have a great day. I will see you tomorrow morning. Bye for now.